Please turn with me in God's Word to the Gospel of Luke and chapter 10. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 10. We continue our series through the Gospel of Luke this morning. We'll be looking particularly this morning at verses 10 through 16. That'll be our text. But for context, I'd like to begin reading in Luke chapter 10, verse 1. And read through verse 16. So now let us hear God speak to us from His Word, beginning in Luke chapter 10 and verse 1. After these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also, and sent them two by two before His face into every city and place where He Himself was about to go. Then He said to them, "The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into His harvest. Go your way, behold, I send you out as lambs among wolves. Carry neither money bag, knapsack, nor sandals, and greet no one along the road. But whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace to this house.' And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest on it. If not, it will return to you. And remain in the same house, eating and drinking such things as they give, for the laborer is worthy of his wages. Do not go from house to house. Whatever city you enter, and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you, and heal the sick there, and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But whatever city you enter, and they do not receive you, go out into its streets and say, 'The very dust of your city which clings to us, we wipe off against you. Nevertheless, know this, that the kingdom of God has come near you. But I say to you that it will be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than for that city. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, who are exalted to the heaven, will be brought down to Hades. He who hears you, hears me. He who rejects you, rejects me. And he who rejects me, rejects him who sent me." As far as the reading of God's holy word, let us now pray. Our God, thank you for speaking to us from your word. Thank you for the gospel of salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to hear and to understand, to take to heart these things that you speak to us today, that we might know, our sin and misery, and in doing so, we might know our need for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. There's a lot of things that I'm thankful for in this life. A lot of things. And the older I get, the more I realize I have to be thankful for. But, one thing that I'm always returning to, that I am thankful for, is that God, the God who is, the God who has revealed Himself in His Word, is a God who is in the business of forgiving sins. He's in the business of forgiving sins. Big sins. And I'm thankful for this because I know that I'm a big sinner. I know that I am a sinner. And God forgives sins. He is gracious, He is compassionate, and He is merciful. But there is one sin that, if persisted in, will lead to certain condemnation. That is the sin of rejecting the gospel. This is because when you reject the gospel, you reject the very means by which God provides forgiveness. You reject Jesus Christ Himself. And this is a very serious matter. So serious that Jesus is going to address it here with very strong language. Woe to you. Woe to you. If you do this, the context here is one in which Jesus, as we learned last week, is sending out these 70 individuals two by two. He's sending them out as lambs among wolves. He's sending them out to various cities, and he tells them, some of these cities that you go to are going to receive you. And those that do receive you, in verse 9, heal the sick there and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. But other cities aren't going to receive them. There are some that are not going to receive them. He doesn't tell them to heal the sick there. He tells them rather to wipe the dust from your feet as judgment against them. But nevertheless, to remind them in verse 11 that the kingdom of God has come near to you. The message is proclaimed to all. Some receive it, some reject it. But Jesus is going to continue and end his message to these 70 before he sends them out. He's going to end it by stressing the danger of those who reject the gospel. Those who reject the gospel message, he says, will face a far more terrible end than even the most wicked cities known to man. Those who reject the gospel will face a far more terrible end than the most wicked cities known to man. This is a serious thing. This was serious then, and it is just as serious today. You're going to hear the gospel preached today. You're going to hear God speak today. You're going to hear the gospel proclaimed by a lawfully ordained preacher. And as a minister of the gospel, I am an ambassador of Christ himself. I am an ambassador. I speak not on my own authority, but on his. I speak his word, not my word. And if you reject this message, you will not be rejecting my message, but you will be rejecting his message. You will not be rejecting God's messenger, but you will be rejecting God himself. This is the most dangerous and foolish thing that any person could ever do. Do not reject the gospel. Because when you reject the gospel, you reject God and you invite his judgment. Because that's all that's left. When you reject the gospel, you reject God and you invite his judgment. What Jesus is going to teach here. We'll see two things, that when you reject the gospel, you reject God, and that when you reject God, you invite his judgment. I want to begin by looking at verse 16. He who hears you hears me. He who rejects you rejects me. And he who rejects me rejects him who sent me. There's a logic here to this statement that Jesus makes. We'll flush that out as we think about the reality that when you reject the gospel, you reject God. Jesus begins by saying that rejecting the gospel message is the same as rejecting Jesus' own words. He who hears you hears me. He who rejects you rejects me. This is nothing new to the New Testament. Listen to the words from Ezekiel 3:27. God says, when I speak with you, I will open your mouth, and you will say to them, thus says the Lord God. He who hears, let him hear. He who refuses, let him refuse, for they are a rebellious house. Again in the New Testament, Paul in Romans chapter 10 and verse 14. How shall they call on him, that is Jesus, in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they hear? The reality is that when the word of God is rightly preached, it is Jesus Christ himself who is speaking. Think about that. When you gather together in a worship service and the word of God is preached, it is Jesus Christ himself who is speaking to his people. I think if we really understood this, we would desire to be in worship more often. Jesus is going to speak twice today to his people. Do you desire to hear him speak? And this is a call This is an individual call. He who hears you, singular. He, the one, the individual who hears you, hears me. He, the individual, the one who rejects you, rejects me. This is not a call to a group, but a call to the individual. Personal, individual hearing and personal, individual rejecting. Children, your parents cannot believe for you. Your parents cannot hear for you. You must lay hold of the Lord Jesus Christ yourself. So children who are here, this message is for you. From God, hear and believe. So rejecting the gospel message is the same as rejecting Jesus' own words. But Jesus goes on. And he equates rejecting the messenger with rejecting him. He who rejects you rejects me. Not only the message, but me. In other words, rejecting the gospel messenger is the same thing as rejecting Jesus. That's why we ordain men to preach the gospel. Because as part of that ordination, that lawful calling, the man is trained and given the authority by Christ himself through the church to speak the word of God to God's people. And God, by his Spirit, gives a power and a strength to do that. So faithful ministers then are called to be regarded not because of who they are, but because of the office that they hold. They are ambassadors of God. Christ's messengers, ambassadors of reconciliation to a lost and a dying world, saying, come, 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 come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe in him and be saved. Rejecting the gospel message is the same as rejecting Jesus' words. Rejecting the gospel messenger is the same as rejecting Jesus. But look with me again at verse 16. He who rejects me rejects him who sent me. Jesus goes on. Not only is rejecting the words, rejecting my words, and rejecting the messenger, rejecting me, but rejecting me is to reject the one who sent me. Now, who is the one who sent Jesus? Well, turn with me to John 12. One gospel over. John chapter 12. In verse 49, we'll read 49 and 50. Actually, we'll back up and read 47 to 50. So this is John chapter 12 and verse 47. Jesus is speaking here. If anyone hears my words and does not believe, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his command is everlasting life. Therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father has told me, so I speak. Who sent the Lord Jesus Christ, but the first person of the Trinity, the Father. So if we go back then to Luke in chapter 10, and we understand that Jesus here tells those he's sending out, tells us that he who rejects him rejects the one who sent him, rejects his Father, rejects God, the Father. God the Father's provision in sending the Lord Jesus Christ. The very means of grace. And rejects God the Father's kindness. Isn't it his kindness that leads us to repentance? Saying, I don't want your kindness, God. Thank you, but no thank you. This is serious. Because when you reject God, you reject not only the gospel, but you invite his judgment. So what Jesus is going to bring out here as we go back and look at verses 10 through 15. When you reject God, in rejecting the gospel, you invite his judgment because that's all that remains. That's all that remains. And it will be a judgment that is far worse than God's past judgments. In fact, Jesus brings this out. In verse 10, he says, "Whatever city you enter, and they do not receive you, go out into its streets and say, 'The very dust of your city which clings to us, we wipe off against you. Nevertheless, know this, the kingdom of God has come near to you.' But I say to you that it will be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than for that city." We have to know a little bit about Sodom. Sodom was a wicked city. Genesis 19, you can read about that, and I encourage you to do so. Remember, God had heard of the wickedness of Sodom. It has come to his ears, and he went and visited with Abraham. He said, "That has come to my ears, and I'm going to go down and see if this is true." Abraham pleads with God, "If there are but a few that are righteous there, spare the city." God doesn't find enough. God goes and sends his angels, and they bring warning, and Lot is told. And no one will listen to Lot, not even his own son-in-laws will listen to him. Only he, his wife, and his daughters, and his wife turns back, and the entire city is laid bare, never to be rebuilt. A sign of God's judgment. In fact, Sodom is used over and over in the Word of God as a picture, a symbol of unrighteousness. It'll be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than for that city. It'll be far worse than God's past judgment against Tyre and Sidon. Notice after he says, "Woe to you, Chorazin, woe to you, Bethsaida." He says, "If the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes." Well, Sodom is probably more well known than Tyre and Sidon, but Tyre and Sidon were Phoenician cities. They were along the Mediterranean coast. These cities were made up of individuals who were proud and greedy and cruel, famous for their idolatry. Even as the prophet Amos tells us, selling God's people into slavery to the Greeks. Time does not permit us, but if you want to, I would encourage you to read Ezekiel chapters 26 through 28 and Isaiah chapter 23. Ezekiel 26 through 28. Isaiah 23. There, all of these things will be brought out. God's judgments against Tyre and against Sidon. But the point here that Jesus is making is that for these modern-day cities, Chorazin, Bethsaida, even Capernaum, it'll be far worse than it ever was for Sodom or Tyre or Sidon. Far worse. Now, why will it be far worse? Notice, it's not because of open and outright sin. That's not what is listed here. In fact, these individuals may have been upstanding, morally good citizens, but they were spiritually blind and dead. You see, the reason that it will be far worse is because they had more revelation than Sodom and Tyre and Sidon. Jesus had done, the context here is one in which we have these three cities listed, all in the region of Galilee. Capernaum, particularly. Capernaum was where Matthew had his tax collector's office. Capernaum was where Peter, Andrew, James, and John were called to become fishers of men. Capernaum was the central base of operations for Jesus. He did many works and preached there. And all of these cities were in that region. They had an amazing amount of revelation. And Jesus says, "Let me contrast you with these wicked cities. If these wicked cities would have witnessed what you have witnessed, they would have repented." Notice what he says in verse 13. "They would have repented long ago. They would not have delayed. They would have been speedy in their repentance. They would have repented sitting in sackcloth and ashes, Sackcloth was often made of animal hair, and often dark animal hair. It would have been darker. What a great picture of repentance, of sin, of understanding that's who we are. But also, individuals would cover themselves in sackcloth, put ashes on themselves as grief, as mourning, perhaps over a loss. But here the picture is mourning and grief over sin, the blackness of our sin, and understanding that we rightly deserve punishment, that we humble ourselves under the hand of God so that He might lift us up. And Jesus makes it clear here. Sodom, wicked city. Tyre, wicked city. Sidon, wicked city. Had they had the privilege that you had, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. What a judgment. Matthew Henry says this: the gospel is brought to your doors. If you shut your doors against it, your blood is upon your own head. J.C. Ryle: it is not open sin and flagrant profligacy that alone which ruins souls. We have only to sit still and do nothing when the gospel is pressed on our acceptance, and we shall find ourselves one day in the pit. In other words, it is possible to hear Christ preached, to even see Christ's miracles, and yet to remain unconverted. Notice what Jesus says here in verse 15: and you, Capernaum, who are exalted to the heaven, you will be brought down to Hades. In other words, you, Capernaum, the city that had seen the most of heaven's glory, is destined for hell. I want you to think in your mind what comes to you when you think of the vilest sinner. Think of the vilest sinner you can. What you consider a great and heinous sin. Maybe someone who you think they'd never set their foot in the church. Then hear this. The message here is that if that person would hear what you are hearing today, they would come to the Lord Jesus Christ without delay. But you, church, you've heard this message and you refuse to come. In other words, what Jesus is saying is it will be better for those outside the church on Judgment Day than for those who are supposedly in the church but do not truly rest in Christ alone. That's the judgment. When is this going to happen? When is this judgment coming? Jesus says two things here in verse 12. He says, in that day, and then in verse 14, at the judgment. And so the picture here is a judgment that is yet future, a judgment at the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the good news is that the gospel is being proclaimed. The good news is that Jesus is saying, come now, come to me and find rest. This is a judgment that is avoidable. It's avoidable through the proper gospel preaching. Notice again in verse 16, he who hears you hears me. So when you hear, in contrast to rejecting the message, you are hearing the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. We get a picture of the work of gospel ministry here in 2 Corinthians. In chapter 2. Paul, who was that great preacher called by God an apostle, in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14. I'm going to read verses 14 through 17 and then talk a moment about it. He begins this way in 2 Corinthians 2:14. Now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and through us diffuses the fragrance of His knowledge in every place. For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To the one we are the aroma of death leading to death. and to the other the aroma of life leading to life. And who is sufficient for these things? For we are not as so many peddling the word of God, but as of sincerity. But as from God, we speak in the sight of God in Christ. And what Paul is saying here is that as a gospel preacher, God is diffusing the fragrance of his knowledge through them. And it's an aroma that is going out. And it's going to be either received in one of two ways. It's aroma of life unto life for those who are being saved, and it is aroma of death leading to death for those who are perishing. You see, what he is saying is, it's how you hear that matters. The message is going out, and it is either going to bring life or death, because God's word never returns void. It will accomplish its purpose. It will leave you then broken by your sin, looking to Christ and rejoicing in him at your death and at the resurrection, or it will lead you hardened in your sin and guilty before him. And so it's important to receive the message properly. In fact, if we just flip over to 2 Corinthians 5, verse 20, Paul again speaking to the Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 20 says, "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God." I'm doing that today. I am an ambassador of the Lord Jesus Christ. I am imploring you on Christ's behalf to be reconciled to God through the only way that reconciliation can happen, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life. Come to him. And receive the message, as Paul, we already read in Romans chapter 10, says, it is the word of God spoken to you. The word of Christ, it is Christ speaking to you, calling you to repentance. That's what Jesus is sending these 70 individuals out to do, to call men, women, and children to repentance and to faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's sending them out amongst wolves as lambs into hostile territory. And he's sending them out with the most important message that anyone can ever hear: the gospel of God's grace in the Lord Jesus Christ. Truly, the kingdom has come near. He says that twice. The kingdom has come near. Some are going to receive it, some are not, but the kingdom will come near to all. But for those who reject it, the price of rejection is high. It is a rejection not only of the gospel message, not only of the gospel messenger, it is a rejection of the words of Christ, it is a rejection of Christ himself, it is rejection of the Father, it is rejection of God. And the only thing left after you reject God and his salvation is a certain judgment. That's it. Woe to you. Now, there is no reason, brothers and sisters, there is no reason whatsoever that any of you need to face this judgment. God is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So I want you to hear me clearly today. I am ordained by God to preach the gospel, to preach and to proclaim the kingdom of God coming near to you through and in the Lord Jesus Christ. He has come. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Don't harden your hearts. Don't think, I will believe later. You're not guaranteed later. God has given you now. Don't reject the gospel. Don't reject it. Don't invite God's judgment. Jesus came to save sinners, and today is the day of salvation, perhaps even yours. Amen. Let us pray. Our God, we thank you that you warn us with clear warnings in your word not to reject the grace of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you that you have been clear with us. I ask that you would work in each and every heart here to draw us nearer to you through the Lord Jesus Christ, to humble us, O God, and then to lift us up and place us upon that rock that is higher than us, the Lord Jesus Christ, that we may know that in spite of what we deserve in Christ, we have received your grace and mercy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.